This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here. Announcement comes up tomorrow morning, 10 AM, a programming announcement, adding another local show to the Fan. Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. during the Mason Crosby Show. Mason Crosby, Mitch Thunder Nellis will make our announcement at that point. Again, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. as we will be adding another local show here on the Fan. West. Make sure to be tuned in for that. I will tell you positively that the host of the show will not be this man joining us next. Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette, columnist extraordinaire. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. But feel free, Pete, if you ever want to host a radio show, I'm here for you, bud, if you want to talk.
That would have been news to me if that were the announcement. No, I'm going to leave the radio hosting to you experts.
You and Tom Silverstein, and away you go.
But if you want to lose listeners, that's the way to go.
No, you guys are good. All right, let's talk about this column that you wrote yesterday. You kind of went somewhere where we've kind of already went a little bit on this show, and we have asked the question before, which is, you know, do you like the way that Brian Gutekunst is attacking this offseason for the Packers? Because essentially, when you have free agent money, you're essentially spending money to fill holes where you think maybe it's not as strong in the draft, and then maybe saving the money that you don't spend in free agency to attack holes on your team through the draft where you think positions maybe are deeper in the draft. And one of the positions you brought up, which is something we've talked about, which is the importance of maybe a number one wide receiver. And can you really find that in the draft versus what you could have found in free agency?
You know, this doesn't sound like it's a real strong receiver draft, you know, at least on the top end. Now, you never know. You know, teams have found number one receivers in later rounds, so it can be done. But even I don't think they're going to get huge immediate help, you know, like a guy who's going to come in and immediately be their number one like Jefferson or Chase was. I mean, that's just, you know, that's pretty rare, I think. I'm sure first, you know, receivers, at least a possibility in the first round. I still think, you know, the best bet is defensive line, either inside or outside. That sure looks like the most likely, but you never know the specific players. You know, it all comes down to what Gutekunst thinks those specific guys. So it could be, you know, D-line, corner, receiver, obviously, I think would be at the top of anybody's list who's looking at this for the first round.
You know, the other part of this, when we talk about this wide receiver group, and if you read up on any of this, a lot of people think it's top two, top three, heavy maybe, and then there's a big drop-off. My argument to this has been, listen, maybe, just maybe, they look at what that offense looked like last year, and they say, Pete, you know what? We're not going to be a pass-happy offense. We are going to be an offense based around our rushing game, our ground game, and we don't need to pay a dominant wide receiver all that money. We can do it with other type of wide receivers, and maybe a team that you look at that's been able to do it, even though they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, is Patrick Mahomes, who really hasn't had that dominant one, but has figured out ways to still win football games.
Well, the Banks signing points in that direction, because that one was a little bit of a surprise. I was thinking with Tom and maybe Rashid Walker, I don't know if Walker will get an extension or not. Tom's obviously going to get one. That they're already paying Jenkins. I thought they'd let Myers walk and just replace him from within and, move Morgan into a starting guard spot. But they spent pretty big money to bring Banks in, and he's, their history has always been pass blocking over run blocking, and this guy's the opposite. He's more of a run blocker than a pass blocker, so that certainly would back your theory. And so, yeah, it does look like the run game's going to be a bigger part of their, at least as big, if not a bigger part of their offense last year. And they probably feel better about the players, the receivers coming back than maybe those of us on the outside think. I mean, that's what they've done this offseason suggests that's at least a possibility, but they still think, those guys are young, so there's still the possibility of improvement, and Devontae Adams had a really bad second year and all that stuff. I still was really intrigued by Metcalf. They didn't do it, so they've got that second-round pick, and, there's going to be pass rushers, receivers, and corners. That seems to be their, I think most people would agree those are their greatest needs.
Talk with Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Let me follow up with something else we talked about during the football season and see if you can get down with it. What if, instead of going after a wide receiver like McMillan from Arizona or somebody else there in the first round, if they decide instead to build this offense around a number one target for sure, but what if that number one target is Tucker Kraft versus a wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City, you talked about Kansas City to some degree. After Tyreek Hill, after they traded him, that offense, and even when he was there, Kelsey was a huge part of that offense. It's a real possibility. And if Musgrave ever stays healthy and proves he can be, a threat down the middle seam, then maybe we'll see more two tight end stuff. And we saw a fair amount of it last year. Maybe we'll see even more of it this year, too. But, I think most of us would agree Kraft was underutilized last year, and especially because those receivers kept dropping the ball. He had his share of drops too, but he's good after the catch too. I got to think he's going to be a really big part of their offense, regardless of, who they might draft at receiver. He's a talented guy.
Because wouldn't you agree that he kind of became a forgotten guy in games during the year where he didn't get that many targets? And in reality, maybe you should be trying to get him the ball 6 to 8 times a game?
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I would have, I thought by the end of the year he'd be seeing the ball more than he did. And he's so good after the catch. I just, I don't know what happened there. Matt LaFleur will be available at the owners' meetings, which are next week, actually. So that's one of the things I plan to ask him about is what's going on there, because a big part of their job is to make the most out of all those weapons. And the advantage with Kraft is he's a pretty solid run blocker too, so you can get good matchups in the passing game, because when he's out there, teams have to have defenses have to have running run stopping personnel on the field.
The other part about this, too, when we talk about this offense, is Matt LaFleur as play caller of this offense. Charlie Hughes, my producer, pointed this out during the season, where Jordan Love has kind of played four different versions of what this offense is supposedly going to look like. You know, in year one, it was come out and be super conservative. Receivers were running the wrong routes. Everybody was in the wrong space. It was a mess. Then you get to the second half of the year, past that Steelers game, and then LaFleur opens it up, and Love is winging it all over the place. Then you get to year two, and Love gets hurt multiple times. Had to play Malik Willis, so the offense really changes at that point because Love's not healthy either. And then in the second half of the year, they go full-on conservative, running the football more than anything else with Josh Jacobs, and the ability to throw it all over the yard is kind of taken away from him, it felt like, last year. He really still hasn't had a full season of what the offense is going to be consistently for a full 17-game schedule.
Yeah, and I'm still not sure how much of the second half of last season, and especially down the stretch, how much of that is LaFleur and how much of that was just Love is still, you know, he's trying to find that that happy medium between having a little gunslinger in him, taking some chances to beat the good teams. You know, quarterbacks sometimes have to take some calculated risks. So how to do that, but not to have the really bad interceptions and too many of them. And I just kind of got the feeling that was the bigger problem than anything, is he just has to get a better feel for that and maybe have the game slow down for him still, you know, just another half tick. Really curious to see how he does this year, to see if the injury was a factor all season. It very well might have been. And to see how his work is going as far as finding that happy medium.
Talk with Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. When we talk about him as a drafter, we got into this a little bit yesterday. Where do you think Gutekunst's strengths are as far as drafting, as far as position group goes? Where, you know, if he takes an offensive lineman, you're like, okay, I feel pretty confident he knows what he's doing there. And then what is a position group or groups maybe where you question what he's doing because he doesn't have a great track record of success? Like, for me, I question anytime he takes a cornerback at this point past Jair.
You know, I think the biggest thing to question is, you know, the pass rushers. You know, he hasn't hit big on anybody yet. I thought Gary looked like he was, you know, ready to take off. Then, you know, hurt his knee. But then I think, you know, right before they extended his contract, he might have had a 2 or 3 sack game. He was that first half of that season. He was playing well. And then the second half of the season, what do you have, like 2 sacks the rest of the year? And Van Ness, you know, you can't write him off yet. But first 2 years were not very promising as far as, being an outside rusher. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is, you know, basically one of Gutekunst's great strengths has been he's done really well in free agency. And, you know, Cooper was a really good pick. So I don't know. Pass rusher is the one, you know, I wonder about. But, you know, these drafters, you know, we make these decisions on these guys because this is the way it is. You have to do it in 3 or 4 years. But really that's, you know, like 10 drafts is a lot of drafts, but not many GMs get the chance to make 10 drafts.
You know, the other part about this with where the Packers are right now, they're going to be the youngest team more than likely, or in that area of being the youngest team in the league again, and you're going to have that excuse built in. Is that still going to be an excuse that people can use going forward if they don't take that next step?
No, they've crossed that threshold. This is basically where they are now is where a lot of teams are shooting for, where you're youngish, but all these young guys that you've drafted for, you know, 2 or 3 years have played a lot of football. So they're not they're still youngish, but they're not inexperienced. They're very experienced. And Love is now going to be in his 3rd season as a starter. So no, I don't think that'll hold any water anymore. They should be ready for prime time. This is the season they've been shooting for, is that, you know, the 3rd year with Love at quarterback, starting over with the salary cap, all that stuff. This is the season where you're looking to reap all the rewards of all of that.
Pete, I appreciate you coming on. One last question. How big of an impact do you think Mecole Hardman makes at the end of the day?
Probably not much. Special teams, if he has a pretty good season there. I think he was all pro a couple of years ago.
He certainly wasn't all pro last year because he wasn't good.
Yeah, I just, when they signed him, I'm not even sure he's going to make the team. You know, they not like they're paying him a ton of guaranteed money. So he might not even make it for all we know. I was just thinking he'd be a rotational fourth or fifth guy.
There he is, our guy, Pete Doherty. I love him so much. Green Bay Press Gazette columnist over there. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thank you, buddy, and have a good rest of your day.
All right. You too, Sparky. Thanks for having me.